appreciate that. And I'm glad that you kind of read, like, I noticed that every year when I make notes for different things that I do, have you noticed this too, that each time I make notes that
Oops.
You're on mute, Dan.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Like I said, I'll just repeat it. I noticed that my notes that I make, every year that I do things like this, they get bigger and bigger in order for me to read them. There used to be a time where I could read from a distance. Now I make letters like this big on a piece of paper because there's no chance for me to be able to read them. And the other thought that crossed my mind that proves I'm an alcoholic is the first thought that came from my mind when I heard Debbie say about getting the address. My thought was it's 8614 Kirsch Road, and I'll take care of that in my next fourth and fifth step after I take all the money for the group, you know. But that's not how things are today. In my old days, I wouldn't have hesitated to try to figure out a way to manipulate somebody to get what they had for myself to make my life easier. I can remember. I've heard you. I was telling you last week about the first three steps, and then the third step. I read it, and I purposely held on to doing the third step for as long as I could because I made that fatal mistake of reading all the steps and realizing what they wanted me to do in four and five. So if you don't finish three, you don't have to do four and five. And of course, I had a sponsor, and he just kept on pushing me, and then some other old timers. They kept on pushing me until I finally gave in. And I can remember, when I first opened up like the steps and looked at step four, I'm like, okay, that's not gonna be too bad. The problem with it is that as you open up the big book and you start looking to and you start getting more information on there, man, that starts becoming a lot more. They want to know a lot more about me. I wasn't really planning on giving you a lot about me because I have some things here that just kind of caught my mind before I go on too far. The first thing I remember saying when he said making a list, I said, like about self-esteem, money, ambitions, personal relationships. Okay, well, we can do that. Then a list scrolled, started going. I started putting that list together and that scroll started getting longer. I don't know about you guys, but the scroll was the people that I hated, the people that hurt me. That's who I was. That list was getting bigger every day. I was adding people to them. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that guy, and that person, that relationship, that person, so I started adding resentments, fears, sex conducts, harms to others. I was like, wow. By the time I get done, this thing could be an entire book. This might be bigger than the Bible when I'm done. And the only problem is that I'm not gonna let anybody read it. So now I'm getting calls from my sponsor. He's talking about how's this, you guys have done this to your sponsors. How's that four step working? How you doing? You doing pretty good? And back then he didn't give me a time limit at first. And then, because I was going over some of the stuff that was on there. And I can remember, as I was telling you, the more I started doing, every day I was working on this four step. And I would come home and, whatever I was doing, I'd sit down at night when everybody's sleeping and I'd get this list going. And the list, like I said, was about the people who had harmed me, the people who had done that. And like you heard last week, I was passed around to five families in three states. I'm going to tell you right now, during that period of time, there were some things that were improprieties that I don't talk about. I talk about with my sponsor. I talk about that with my priest, different things. But I'm going to tell you right now, there were things that happened to me during these periods of time as you're being passed around that, when I finally said, at 11, 12 years old, when my grandmother died, that I'm done with God, done with your people. I'm going to tell you right now, when you don't have a God that you even look towards as you're growing up, the behaviors and the things that you do, are going to cause a lot of distress in your life. And I continued, when I look at some of the list of things that, you do in the relationships, I had some rules about relationships. If I was in a relationship with somebody and I broke up with them, it was all right. It was good. if they broke up with me. Oh, I can remember being freshman year, being thrown out of the door of a fraternity house because a girl broke up with me that I was dating during a fraternity party. Who does that? You know, who breaks up with a guy at a fraternity party? That's not really a smart move. And, you know, and they threw me out. And, of course, I threw a brick through the window and blamed on somebody running down the street, you know. Hey, well, we should catch him, you know. But, yeah, I had to make amends to that later. Freaking program, you know. But during that time of, like, when I was starting to get that fourth step down, I can remember now sitting there and I'm getting things lined up in the columns. You know, as you go through, you know, and back then, I did not use the 12, 12, and 12. I'm going to tell you right now, I really enjoy my 12, 12, and 12, you know, the 12 and 12 program, because that really helps you find a lot more. And also, when you're doing a fourth step, I use other information too. I mean, the big book back then, it helped me, it guided me. It got me to write down the things and the columns and to look at it, look at my fault, look at, you know, all the different issues I had to do. But I'm going to tell you right now, it was a day before, you know, that fourth, I got a fourth step all done. I got everything written down, just like the book wanted me to do it. And I had it down there. And I don't know about you. When I started realizing some of the things that, you know, when I had to start adding those things that I did, and I was responsible for, and I started, like, at first it was really kind of nice just going after other people. The hard part was when I started looking at myself and looking at my behaviors and looking at my relationships and looking at my sex issues and my anger and all these different things that I had there. And I started looking at that, and I also started looking at some of my improprieties as far as, like, you know, the law. And I started looking at that list, I go, oh my God. If I tell a person about these things that I did from the time I was a kid, the things that where I broke the law and a lot of the things I did, be honest, I'd still be in jail for it today. And I know that. I know that because of the things I did, that if where I was living. And some of them happened while I was married because I didn't care. I thought it was survival. You know, if I need to do this and this and this in order to survive, I'll do it. But now when you're all of a sudden you're sober, and you don't have alcohol to hide the feelings. You know, when all those things were inside me, maybe I would have felt something, but I knew when as soon as I would feel anything that made me feel bad about the behaviors I was doing or about the behaviors that others did to me, the first thing I would do was use. Find some alcohol, find whatever I could find in order to keep that down. And for a long time, it did a hell of a job with me. It kept it down. I could feel, I could survive, I could, you know, kind of treat people, you know, enough to hold on to jobs or whatever I needed to do. You know, did I almost go to jail while working? Yes. Okay, yes. If you pull your boss, your first job, if you pull your boss on the last day you work over the counter and you put him on the floor, there could be law enforcement, okay? I mean, those kind of things that at the time just seemed, oh, it was all right for me to do it because what he did to me. You know, see, I could always rationalize the behavior. But I started looking at that list, and a couple of days before I'm going to sit down, I'm in that fourth step, I got the stuff written down. I'm looking at it, and I'm starting going, wow. I kind of started going, by the side of the things I did, I put down jail. Jail. That these are the things I believe was going to happen if I pass this on to somebody and they somehow let it out. Because, see, I still didn't have that true trust in people yet. Even though I liked my sponsor, I liked the things he was doing. He was a good guy. He had me around the right people. Down inside, because of the things that happened, you know, I was working the fourth step, but I was working the fourth step based on my sponsor at the time. You know, based on where I was. And so I made a decision. Now, I'm going to talk about this. I made a decision at that time when he told me that he was going to do that we were going to do the fifth step. That after we got, you got it all done. Are you ready to go? And the night before, I went through. And what I did is I'm a numbers guy. I'm a percentage guy. I like numbers and factors. I went through every plaything I was going to give to my sponsor, and I broke it down to, if I tell him this much of it, he'll still accept it, and he'll move on to the next part. Okay, so I broke it down to each section, each little thing that I did in that, to how is my sponsor going to take this when he comes out for the fifth step? And I can remember, about a year in sobriety, I finished the fourth step and my sponsor is going to come out to my beautiful trailer we had right below the landfill. And it was a beautiful trailer for us. And I won't lie, I'm not from Erie originally. My wife is, but she's like, she lived in town. I can remember when we bought that trailer and we told our friends about this trailer. I told the guys in the program about the trailer. He's like, oh yeah, it's really nice. It's like a really nice little mountain right behind us. And he goes, Dan, that's the landfill. I didn't know it was the landfill. Of course I probably went home with a jerk, So now it's getting closer to the time my sponsor's coming and I have it all planned out because I'm an alcoholic. I'm not gonna tell you right now, I'll be honest. I remember him walking in the front door of the trailer. I remember him walking out, me waving to him as he was leaving. I can't really tell you a lot of what I told him. I couldn't. Because I gave, a lot of it was enough to get him to, did I give him stuff that was going to help me? Absolutely. So what I'm saying about the fourth and fifth step for me is the fact that when I took it the first time, people say, well, don't you regret not doing a good, I did the deepest, there's two things that I took out of there. One is I didn't give my sponsor a few things here. But God also, when I was writing that fourth and fifth step out, he kept some things that were serious, that really were part of my life, but it were serious and were down deep. And he kept them down underneath the ground for me. Because he knew at that moment in my life, I really couldn't handle going through that. I remember later on being kind of pissed off. Well, why didn't I do, why, I was right where, and I can tell you that when I did that fourth and fifth with that sponsor, I can remember feeling better. We've heard it, getting that stuff off me. I got enough out of myself that first fourth and fifth step with my sponsor that day to feel better about myself and to have enough confidence and to be able to start like being able to go back to school. Right after I finished that step, and that says my sponsor, I took my first class. But see, what I'm going to talk about now is kind of like after taking that first, fourth, and fifth step, after going through his list and handing him those things out of there, following the big book and doing all that stuff. What happens next is okay. I started doing some positive things. I started, I still had the sponsor. We're going to continue to do our thing. We're moving on. And I feel pretty good about myself. But in the next few years, showed me what not doing a fearless and moral inventory will eventually lead to. Because, see, those fears and anger, they were just cicadas. They were just basically underneath the ground waiting for their moments. And I had a few of those moments that pointed to the fact that maybe I didn't do a good fourth or fifth step the first time. those things, did I drink over? No. But what I did is it caused like, okay, I start relying. One of the things that showed that I still had a lot of fear in me and not really a good foundation was when I first started going back to college. I always talk about seeds scattered on shallow soil wash away the first hard rain. That's still the story of my life during even this period. The difference is I have a little bit of a foundation and some positive things I'm doing. And with finishing that first, fourth, and fifth and having some positive things, I'm going through life and I'm feeling pretty good about myself for the most part. I have, during that, right around that time, I had my son was born. I have three children. My wife and I both have jobs. And I'm going, I feel like I'm going in the right direction. But the only problem is that at first, I'm going to start back to school. And I decide that if I take this one class and I do well at it, I'll go on to college. I'll go back to school. But if I don't, I'm done with school. I burned too many brain cells. And so I'm putting this pressure on myself that's so enormous that it starts bringing out a little bit of anger on the sides. And I can remember it was, I don't know, about a year and 3 months into sobriety. And what happened is I had two kids, my two daughters. I'm living in this trailer. I'm studying. And what happens is I'm basing my whole life on it. My wife goes to work. I'm home with the kids. You know what they were doing? They were playing and making noise when daddy needed to be studying. And I'm going to tell you right now, the anger started coming out. I'm screaming and yelling, kids, don't you understand? Daddy's got to study. You guys got to be quiet. You need to go in the room. And I'm like a wild man. And I'm like, I don't get it. I'm like, and I'm going by myself and like go in the mirror and flip myself a bird. I'm like, I can't believe it. Why is this? I'm going to meetings. You know, I'm trying to do the next right thing, but now I'm putting so much pressure on myself. And I got to the point one day where I'm going to drink. You know, that fourth and fifth step that I didn't do that deep, it's no longer helped me as much. I'm going to drink. And I remember getting up in the morning. I said, you know, I'm so, you know, nobody cares about me. It's everybody else. I'm back to blaming people. And what happens is I go to the Northwest Training Group, which I don't know if some of you guys might know. It used to be 7th and Cascade. My sponsor used to go to it. So I'm going to go there. I'll catch my sponsor. I'm going to talk to my sponsor. I go there that day. And guess what? He's not there. So the whole meeting, I'm sitting there. As soon as this meeting's over, I'm done. Nobody cares about me. It's all everybody else. I'm always... So I'm going to go drinking. I'm leaving the meeting. You know what some guy asked me? Can I have a ride to the club? I said, you're freaking kidding me. Get in the car. I'll drive you over to the noon meeting. I'm going to drop off at the club. I already know what bar I'm going to. I'm going to drop off. You know what he said as we pull in? Well, you're coming into the meeting, aren't you? Okay. I'll go into that meeting. Okay. I'll go into that meeting. But if I don't feel anything, nothing changes, I'm going out drinking as soon as this meeting's over. It's screw everybody. And I'm in the meeting. I'm leaving the meeting after the meeting's over, and I'm done. I try to call my sponsor before, you know, he's answered. I am on my way to go drink. And you know what this guy yells across the parking lot? Hey, I'll see you at the Marvel Group tonight. I go, yeah. Got it. Why did I tell him that? Why did I tell somebody? So I'm sitting at the Marvel Group. This is my third meeting that day. I'm sitting at the Marvel Group. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I remember that my sponsor goes to the South Erie Group on Friday nights. I'm sitting there, and as soon as the meeting's over, I drive there. And I walk in there, and all him and all the old timers give me that little smile and wave as I come in, because I'm a little late. Smile and wave. And Chester L., this guy, gets up in front of the room, and he starts talking. He's giving his lead. Guess who he's talking about? He's talking about me. Now I am pissed off at my sponsor for somehow finding out what I was thinking about all day long. And he tells this guy who was giving a lead to talk about me. I'm sitting, what the hell? You know what he's talking about? Learning what to do, learning how to live in the moment. Living in the moment. Because see, what happened is, without a good fourth and fifth step, I was slowly not able to live in the moment. You know, those things I put there that I covered up, the cicadas, they're starting to creep out now. And they cause that anger. And this guy's telling this, and I go, well, what's my problem? Well, my kids, they won't let me study. They're making me all this noise. This is so important to me. Don't they understand? And this voice comes in my head that says, why don't you play with your kids during the day and study at night when they're asleep? It can't be that easy. It was that easy. Learning how to be in the moment that saved my life. Did it fix everything? No. I continue going through all these things. I continue to go on to school. And it amazes me, like, I'm back into college in my first semester. I'm working my butt off. I remember I started in September. I take four classes, and I did pretty well. I knew I did pretty well, but I didn't know exactly how good. And at Christmas time, I'm waiting for my grades to come back. So I drove. I have this piece of crap Dodge Omni, and I drive it up there to take care of some business stuff. And I look in this window of this office, and stacked there are all the grades that they're about to send out. And I say to the lady, are those our grades? And she said, yeah, you got your ID. I'll give you yours. So she hands me my grades. And I'm walking out the door. There's not many people around. I'm walking out and open it up. And it's a 4.0. And I'm like, I want to scream like a little kid. This is not, I've never done anything like this before. I've never been successful in life, in academics, ever. I couldn't compete with my brother. I'm walking out of there. I cross the parking lot in Edinburgh into my car. There's like a foot and a half of snow in the parking lot. I'm sitting in the parking lot. I got the car running. I am beeping my horn. I'm screaming like a little kid. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened. This is great. I'm going to tell you what happens when you don't work a good fourth and fifth step. By the time I get halfway back to Erie to McCain, I'm already a piece of shit. If I had taken one more class, if I had taken five classes instead of four, I would have never done that. I'd probably failed all the classes. I had myself, because that's how fast it would leave me. See, in order for those things to develop inside me for these steps, I have to be given all of it, and it wasn't there. And so it didn't take much to wash it away. But I continued that process. I continued to go into school. So now, as most of you guys know, I didn't have a spiritual awakening. I didn't feel that connection with God. And I think that's a lot of the reasons I was afraid during the steps to really put everything out there, to tell everybody there, to see, you know, to God and to another person, you know, to myself. I mean, I was still trying to hide it from myself. So now I'm going along in life, but at least I'm doing some positive things. I told you, I'm getting better grades. I'm starting to feel better about myself. I'm graduating, and I reached my goals, and some quality things happen. But see, I didn't feel that connection. And right before the year before I'm going to graduate is when I had that spiritual awakening. A lot of you guys know, for me, that spiritual awakening changed my life. But The funny part about it is the first thing that happened that year, I always say, well, that's what changed my life. But there was another situation that happened before that I want to talk about as far as that goes. Because, see, I told you that fourth and fifth is still not complete in my heart, my soul. And what happened was I get my first teaching job, and it's a temporary job, and I'm going to school. I'm going to work every day. I'm trying to be there, but this job is dependent. You're not guaranteed. If you get hired, you're not guaranteed to have that job. It's like a 2-year period. So I'm in there, but I'm feeling pretty good. I just graduated. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And the first conference is coming up that I had now that I have my new job. I'm going to go to the conference. Because you know something about alcoholics. When you can accomplish some things, you kind of want to be around people. You're feeling good about yourself finally. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to enjoy this weekend. I've been working so hard. I'm going to enjoy all this time with my sponsor and the different AA people. And it's the conference that year was at the Bel Air. And as soon as I got out of school on a Friday afternoon, I drove down to the Bel Air. And I went down there along the pool, and I got my badge, feeling pretty good about myself. Turned by the pool. I'm walking by the pool. I look up, and who's walking towards me? One of my students. And then instantly, this fear rolled over me, so like a railroad train rolling over me. At that moment, I knew I already had everything she was going to happen. She was going to see that I was in the program. She was going to use that against me. She was going to tell her friends. You know, so I do what all good alcoholics with 4.5 years of sobriety do. I get in my car and I drive home. And I tell my wife, honey, we're going to have to move. And she's like, are you sure? I go, yep. This is what she's going to tell the other school students. They're going to tell this principal. The principal's going to tell the superintendent. They're not going to hire a guy who's an alcoholic. We're done. So she said, well, let's see if we can get through this. I'm okay. So now I'm like, I try to call my sponsor, Douglas Howell. He's not there. I go back down to the conference. I'm going down and I am like a lost pup. I'm a 29-year-old guy who just completed graduating summa cum laude from college. And I am, the fear in me is so overwhelming. I don't know what to do. So what happens is I go there and I'm walking around this place. I'm lost. I can't find my sponsor. I don't know what to do. I'm like standing in the middle of the room. You remember those days in the bar when you were standing in a room of 100 people and you felt alone? That's what I felt at that moment in sobriety. Because see, that all those things that were underneath the surface were coming up. They're like, oh, here they come. But see, the problem is I didn't know this, but God knew that was the time that he wanted those to come out. And so here I am at this conference, and there's a discussion meeting. It goes on all day, okay? And it goes all the way into the night. I don't know if it goes to it. And I'm going in and out of that meeting all Friday night. I don't hear anything. I don't know what's going on. I get up the next day. I don't even want to go listen to the leads. I don't even want to go there. I'm wandering around. I go inside of that meeting. It's now about 11 o'clock or midnight, and there's only four people in that meeting. And there are four people from Oil City, Franklin area I had never seen before. And they're looking at me. This old timer looks at me. You know what he said? He says, either shit or get off the pot. I go, who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to you. And he looks over at his buddy. He says, how many times has he been in this meeting today? He goes, 27. He says, 27 times, you got something to say. Everything I hid underneath me that moment with my sponsor, underneath the landfill, came out 2 hours. Of things that I had never told any person in my life. I told four guys from Oil City, Franklin. Never saw him before. I can't tell you if I ever saw him again. But I'm going to tell you right now. I walked out of there with such a feeling of freedom that people talk about in the fourth and fifth step. We drove over and we went over to the Perkins and had breakfast at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I feel free. I feel happy. I haven't felt this way in my entire life. So I go there. And then I remember, I get home at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I wake my wife up. I said, honey, guess what? She says, what? We don't have to move. We don't have to move. Because that's where I was. The fear was gone. I saw that girl. She was an Al team. She never said a word about anything. You know? We kind of looked at each other when I teach her and she'd give me a little smile like, hey, I like the fact that you're in the program. You know, she didn't say that, but I knew that. But I couldn't feel that until I got through that fourth and fifth step all the way. God knew that moment was going to happen. See, the problem is that moment's there for everybody. That moment, in a spiritual moment where you do this, the step where you know you're in that true connection with God, is there for everybody. But the problem is, it had, in order to do it, you can't pick up a drink the day before that miracle is supposed to happen. If you're new in this fellowship and you haven't done it yet, give yourself a chance. When you're going through a bunch of crap, it happens to everybody. But when you get to that moment where you did when I did my spiritual fourth and fifth step, it changed my life forever. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks.
So who has a question for Dan? If you want to unmute yourself, feel free to go ahead and ask him a question.
All right, I got a question. Jim, alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
So, Dan, have you ever had a sponsee say, I used to have a lot of resentments, but you know what? I've really kind of just forgiven everybody. So I'm really having a tough time with this fourth step. Have you ever had that? And what did you do?
And everybody, I'm Dan, an alcoholic. You know, Jim, when you said that, you're always, if you stick around long enough, you will hear every story, you know, every little story and every way to get out of it. And, you know, but I always laugh because when I've been able to look back on how I was, I know that even if they don't feel that way, and I like to truly believe this, and that is, after I did that spiritual fourth and fifth step with my higher power, how I sponsored people and how I did the fourth and fifth step with them was different the next time, because I could feel as they were talking, I knew what to say at that moment. You know, I knew what to say to them, like, you know, hey, that's all right. You know, well, just give me what you got. What do you got? You know, or maybe I'd say, well, you know, you did that there, but you know, what about? I the really cool part about staying sober for a while, as they say one thing, I hear it, and I know what other things I can say that might open something else up out of there. And so I think the key is sponsorship and doing fourth and fifth steps with sponsees is being able to actually hear and feel the things that they're saying. You know, I like to believe that when I do a fifth step, fourth and fifth with my sponsees, I'm in that spiritual world at that moment, and I know the pain and the things that they've went through, and I know the things that they're hiding from, and I can open. I know what to say at the right moment that opens up a door, and maybe I've seen so many times where something opened up, and like, wow, it went from being like you just talked about to being this overwhelming, like it was that day when I was right before I went to Perkins, you know, it, boom, when it releases. Or sometimes, as long as they don't pick up a drink, and it heals them enough to make them feel all right, you can just open up a little bit of things from them that you can kind of do it, but as you guide them, it seems that that also works. That's all.
Do you think, Dan, that here's what I said. He said, you know, I've had all these resentments over the years, but I have forgiven all those people. My response is write them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because, for one, it's something they know and it gets the pen on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But then there, you know, if there was a resentment there for something, you know, they may have played a good part in it.
Right. And also the fact is that when you hear it out loud, when you say it out loud to another person too, when you say it out loud, it has a different feeling to it, you know, and that's what I was kind of talking about, is that as a sponsor, when you hear them say it, you can kind of like, oh, this one we need to talk about more. Well, let's talk about this a little bit more. What, you know, so you did this, and you've given them, you know, what kind of relationship do you have now? And they're like, you know, a lot of times they'll say, well, I don't have a relationship yet. I don't have that. But I'm like, okay, let's. Well, why not? You know, and then pretty soon, boom, 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 it comes out, and you'll know at the right time as you're doing what to say at that moment. And every once in a while, that's the cool part about, you know, the fourth and fifth in sponsoring now, is that it's a different, and what it does, it also gets me to look at myself. Every time I do a fourth and fifth with a guy, I'm like, when I get done at the end of it, it's another spiritual awakening for myself that you know, allows me to hear all the things that they're talking about.
Thanks, Dan.
Who else has a question?
Short night.
I'm going to have to unmute myself.
All right.
That's good. I was trying to read your lips, so.
Yeah, anyway, I was trying to find the button, too. So, anyway, you know, thanks again, Dan. It's always nice to listen to you. You've got a great voice, and it's just an easy listen. When you were talking about, you know, you were talking about how you kind of half did a fifth step, and then when you actually let that go to those four people that you never knew. And would you consider that was when you had your spiritual awakening, or how else would you describe that?
My spiritual awakening happened at about 4.5 years in fellowship. And most of you guys who have known me for all those years have heard the Mountain Laurel story, you know. And but I can tell if you'd like. And that is, you know, like I said, when I shut God out of my life at 11 years old, I never thought I'd ever connect, you know. And then now, staying sober, I finally get through that fourth and fifth step. I feel and I'm going to meetings but I don't feel that. So that happened in like April, and that summer my wife and I are going on our first like trip together like that. I think it was right around the same time. It was either the year before or the year after, but it was all happened within like a year period. And we're going canoeing down the Clarion River. At the same river, I floated down that river 100 times, dragging kegs and all kind of things down with us, and parties, and it was always alcohol. And this time it was just my wife and I in sobriety, canoeing down the river together. And we're floating down the river, and we're going down, and I see all this white stuff on the side of the hills. And I'm like, oh my God, they're littering down here. And my wife goes, I don't think it's litter. She knows how much I hate litter. I'm like, I cannot believe they would litter here. This is, it's such a beautiful place. Why are they littering? And she gets tired of listening to me. Finally, she said, well, let's pull to the shore. So we get out of the canoe and we step onto the land. And when I stepped onto the land, the 12-year-old little boy that shut God out of his life was standing on the shore. And I looked up and there was mountain laurel in bloom. I said, honey, when did this get here? She said, honey, you're from here. I said, I've never seen this before. I have never seen it. This is incredible. And I look up, and there's vines hanging from the trees. I go, my God, look at these vines. And she's like, oh, dude. You know, she's looking at and this now 30-some-year-old guy is every 100 yards is getting out of the canoe and running around the woods like a little kid, climbing on rocks and screaming and yelling and like just feeling this level of like, wow, this is incredible. I cannot believe this. And I remember we get back in the car after the canoe trip and I'm driving back home. And I said to God, I said, man, that's really incredible. Can I take this home with me? Be careful what you pray for. I thought that moment was about the mountain laurel and the vines and the deer that were walking up to us. When I got back to Erie, 4.5 years in this fellowship, I saw you people for the very first time. I saw you people for the very first time. I'm not talking about your bodies. I saw your heart and your souls for the very first time. I went to the meetings and you guys would be talking. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And the problem was it wasn't just a meeting. I'd be driving down the road and a little old lady's carrying a bag of groceries up into her house. I got to get out of the car and go help her carry them in the house. And I got, for the next 2 weeks, I got tears rolling down my face and I can't stop. And I'm like, I remember looking up at God and I said, God, can you turn this down a notch? And he said, no. And I still feel, as you can tell, I still feel the same way today. When I go through and I go to a meeting, why I'm here with you people, why I'm going to the Zoom meetings, why I'm going to my other meetings, I need to be around you people. Now today I can hear your hearts and your souls. And that's what keeps me coming back. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Any more questions?
Hi, everyone. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
Dan, thank you so very much for sharing that with us. I got a whole lot out of it. My question is, at the spring conference, when these four guys from Oil City, wherever they were from, and you were sharing your fifth step with them, did they realize at the start, or did they realize anywhere through your talking with them that you were actually doing the fifth step?
I think, to be honest, I think the old timer that was there knew exactly what was happening. And we kind of like had a really nice conversation at Perkins afterwards. And kind of like he said, it's been sitting under there for a while, huh? You know, you country boy, you've been sitting under there for a while. I go, yeah, I've been down there. Been down there. He goes, well, you know, sometimes you don't know when they're going to grow really and when they're going to stay down. But I saw it grow today, and I'm so glad it did. And I said, well, I don't know if I've ever seen them again. I can't tell you what they even look like. I can't tell you if they're real. You know?
Yeah.
All I know is that that moment changed my life. And because of that, you know, I still have the relationships. I have, you know, if you had told me even at that point that I was going to be married for 41 years to the same person, I'd say, oh, that's impossible. Because, you know, but the fact is that those kind of things that God, but I also believe that God does, you know, when we think we're supposed to have something at a certain time, we know that we're doing the next right thing. When God opens it up for us, it's the right moment. And we know, and that's what we know. So I'm just, that's why I need to be here with you people. That way I can hear what the right moment is. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Anyone else?
Hi, Dan. Debbie, alcoholic.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you so much for sharing. I really, really enjoyed that and got a lot out of it. But my question for you is, oh, my God, I just lost my train of thought. Hold on here.
Oh, thank you.
It's not getting old. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
I totally
forgot.
See, that's God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves.
Exactly. It had to do with the four step. Because I know I had to do another fourth because there were things that I have left out. And I said it was something that I would never, ever share with anybody. I'd take it to my grave with me. But unless you let go of those things, you are not really totally released of all your anger, resentments, fear, what have you. So for me, after doing it, the second time was a spiritual awakening for me. Honest, I really did have a question for you, but my mind just went, phew. If I think about it, I'll jump in, okay? I'm sorry.
I what you just said just now, that you fought, that you've had that spiritual awakening. I'm just very happy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Anyone else?
As Roberta Duran would say, no mas.
Well, if that's it. What's that, Kevin?
I say, we'll give Debbie Dan's phone number, and when she comes, call him.
I know Dan's phone.
I know how to get a hold of him, trust me. If I remember, Dan, I'm going to shoot you a text, okay?
I appreciate that. I'll keep you in my prayers.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Monse. I'm an alcoholic. I'm back to the program. I have 26 days.
All right.
I've been relaxing the last few years, and I'm doing now my step four, and I want to make sure I do it right because I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of just keep relaxing. I did a step four twice already, and I've been in the program for like 9 years, and the last 2-3 years they were fine, and of course resentments and anger keep happening to me, and I separated from the program, and I hated God because things bad happened. My father passed, my mother passed, and bad people around that I blame them. The in-laws, I hated my in-laws. Back pain made me suffer for 4 years, so I couldn't work, and I had to stay in bed for years. So I had to, this time I want to really work the program really well. I'm doing 4 or 5 meetings a day, and so I'm doing my step four. And I heard of this meeting, so I jumped right away with this step four. And I love your share. I love your share. So to do it right, I wanted to ask you, so do you really pray for those people? They hear you? 26 days ago, the funny thing is I have that epiphany. All of a sudden, when I surrender, I stop hating those people. I stop hating it. But all of a sudden, I start doing the step four again on them. And because all of a sudden, I didn't see, I blame on myself. I say, it's all been my fault because it's me, the one that is being possessed by anger and resentments. And all of a sudden, I start doing it again, the step four on them. But I see that they have power. I'm like, oh, but she was not that nice too. So, you know, you go back there to write and say, well, but I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore because my fault is like I gave them too much power and that's stupid and everything. So I forgive them. That's the way you do it, not to release all that and just do a good step four. That's what I want to say. My step four is going to be good just forgiving everybody. Just forgiving even they did wrong to you. Just forgiving and let it go.
It over a period of time. The fact is, like I said, what I didn't do during that time where I said I did the first, fourth step and the fifth step, I didn't let anger against the people come out like it used to. I had done enough. See, I'm like I said, I also believe that those moments where we have that clarity are in front of us somewhere. We don't know when they're going to come. And God gives us the opportunity to reach those things, to reach that fourth step and fifth step where I was supposed to reach it. But he also says that he gave me the power. He gave me the choice of I can choose not. I can choose to pick up a drink. I can choose. But if I don't, this is the reward that's going to happen. If I get through those moments with like a life that it looks seems so hard and I get through to the other side, all of a sudden that moment happens when it all opens up and I understand and that anger and that resentment and those hatred things that were holding me back and the things that I did were released. But I had to not pick up a drink to that moment. You know, that's what it comes down to sometimes. You know, we talk about that. For a lot of us, just not drinking on a day like that, that's a miracle in itself. So just do me a favor. Don't pick up that next drink and give yourself a chance. Thanks.
Good job.
Okay, so that's a good place for us to wrap things up for the evening. Of course, we want to come back next week, catch